Good morning. Now, I know you're all excited to see one another, and it's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, but we are here together with one great purpose, and that is to worship the Lord. Warm welcome to everyone, and a special welcome to our Hawaiian travellers and our Belize travellers and our Victoria travellers. Welcome back to reality. Charlie tells me it takes about 2 months to readjust back to the Alberta climate, but
or never.
But welcome home, everyone. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. That is the Sunday of the year when we remember the time when Christ took three of his disciples up into the mountain of God, and to those people it was revealed just exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ was and is. And so that is what we celebrate today, Transfiguration Sunday. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. Announcements today. A reminder that daylight savings time begins next Sunday, so please turn your clocks forward 1 hour. Our Shrove Tuesday pancakes will be served on Tuesday from 5 to 7 here, and I have a message from Richard. The preparation is going to be starting at 3 o'clock, and this is traditionally managed by the gentlemen of our congregation, so any help from the men or boys of our church would be so appreciated. And could you please see Richard after church, and he could give you further details. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday, March 9th, first day of Lent, and we will hold our observance here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, and you're invited to join us for the sacrament of dedication. Next Sunday, the 13th, is the first Sunday of Lent, and family worship is at, of course, 10 a.m. Food bank donations. During the period of Lent, our food bank donation box will be in the foyer to receive self-denial donations of non-perishable food items for the needy. I guess that's chocolate for me. Mustard seed is Wednesday, the 16th of March. And just a reminder that we were short of cookies last time, so please help if you can. There will be a concert today at the Carsters Museum at 2 o'clock featuring Kelsey Foat, and the cost is $15 if anyone is interested in that. Also, March 3rd was a very special day. Evelyn and Linnell Reed celebrated their first birthday, and Betty Thomas, their great-grandmother, celebrated her 80th. So please join us for... Yes, thanks. So please join us for birthday cake after the service. Susan has an announcement. And our final announcement is the new church directory project. The photo sessions, you can see the dates and times of the photo sessions here in our bulletin. Wilma has asked me to really stress, if you haven't signed up, if you please could sign up today. She'd like to take home the schedule after church today, and she'll be phoning those who haven't signed up. So we could save her a phone call by making sure you're signed up today. Are there any other announcements? Thank you.
And just to re-emphasize, having that church photo directory in your home is invaluable. It is, you know, it is a great source when you need someone's phone number. And our congregation is scattered all over the place. We're not all in one neat telephone grouping area. We're all over the place, and that is the place. Ours gets worn to shreds. It gets used so much, and quite a few people are nodding and saying, yep, so does mine. And the way to get one is to be in that directory. Okay, you get your picture taken in that directory, you get a copy of it. Okay, and that's the only way. All right, so please sign up. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. On the Transfiguration Mountain of God, the Lord God spoke and said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." We worship the Lord with our approach choruses, and I invite Elmer and Marian to lead us in those choruses. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. Our first song this morning is "Jesus Loves Even Me," number 357. Yes. I am so glad that our Lord in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee. Listen and remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
And our second one is "Joyful, Joyful." We'll sing two verses of that, 1 and 3.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts are full like bars before thee, open to the sun above. Melt the cause of sin and sadness, drive the dark out away. Give her of immortal gladness, give us with the light of day. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean lift of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
And our last one, 383, "Open My Eyes."
Open my eyes.
Big thank you to Elmer and to Marion for that beautiful lead into our worship this morning. Let us bow our heads and let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be here. We come into this sanctuary of your love and we are surrounded by your love. Your love glows from the faces and the greetings of all of our friends in Christ as we get together once again in your blessed name. And so, gracious Father, as we gather in your name, we pray that you will fulfill your promise that when we gather together in your name, there you will be in the midst. And we just know you are here, Lord. We feel your presence. We sense the joy and we sense the presence of your Spirit. Bless us, Lord, as we worship. Hear us as we worship you and speak to us, Father, as we seek your grace and your word in our lives. Bless us, Lord, for we come in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Can you believe that those Reed twins are a year old already? Unbelievable. We wish them a happy birthday and we hope the next year doesn't fly by quite as quickly.
Thanks, Lord.
Our Old Testament reading is Exodus 24:12 through 18, with God on the mountain. The Lord said to Moses, Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on the Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up the mountain and stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 2, 4 through 12. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nation your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and do also carefully.
Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. Oh, sorry. I don't have the rest in here. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
I'm not sure if Howard went up on the mountaintop on Maui, but he's glowing, so he must have done. Be happy to announce, to invite Howard to come up and lead us in special music. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Not only did we go up on the mountain in Maui, which was quite an experience in itself, going up in a disused volcano or an extinct volcano, but going back to about 3 weeks before we left, I was trying to think what to do for special music, and because it was so cold, I was thinking of summer, so I thought I'd better pick something that cheers everybody up and think of the summer. So I was thinking of our Yaha Tinder and some of the music we sing out at Yaha Tinder. So I thought I'd do a short medley from the Yaha Tinder songs. And then I thought, well, just me singing is probably not that interesting, so I'll have a few pictures from Yaha Tinder. And so, of course, that involves mountains. And so I'd picked the music and got ready, and off we went on holiday. And then when I came back and I looked at the order of service that Ian sent, All the subject matter is the mountaintop, and the quips are all about the mountain. So we know God works in mysterious ways. And anyway, so my songs are very familiar, and if you want to hum along, sing along, whatever, please do so. Just the two songs. Thanks, Grant. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds a future, and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. May God give you gentle horses and an even trail to ride. Pure water, greener pastures, and a good friend by your side. May you always have protection from the northern winds that blow, and may you find God's blessing wherever you may go. And may you find God's blessing wherever you may go.
Great. It was great singing, great reminders, I'm sure, for everyone who gets out to Yaha Tinder, and a great reminder for all of us of what the earth looks like without snow on it. We haven't all been to Maui or Belize. Belize. When you first told me, I thought you said Leeds. Thank you, Howard. Great. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. And we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. The children like to come and join me, please. That's good. Nice to see you all today. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to test your memory. I'm going to show you some pictures which you have seen before. And I want you to see if you remember what they are. Okay? So the first picture is coming up on the screen now. What is it?
Cocoon.
What's a cocoon? It turns into a butterfly.
Yeah.
Okay. What was it before it was a cocoon?
Caterpillar.
A caterpillar? Doesn't look like a caterpillar. Well, that does. But this doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, how does it get to be from that to that?
Yeah,
how? How does that happen? I mean, this looks nothing like that. Really? Is that magic? That seems like magic to me.
What happens to it when it comes out of this? No, I can't. How can that be? When it started off like that, and then it turned into that, how can it be a butterfly? No, never. Well, let's watch this. It's a butterfly. Wow. How did that happen? Well, how can it turn itself? Can you turn yourself into a butterfly?
No.
Well, how can that funny little caterpillar turn into a butterfly?
It grows wings.
Does that look like a butterfly to you?
No.
It looks like a baby. No, it doesn't. It looks like a creepy crawly to me. And it becomes one of them. How does that happen? Who made it happen? That's right. Yeah. Only you've got it. Only God could do that, right? We couldn't do that. Not in a million years could we turn that creepy crawly caterpillar into a cocoon and then into a butterfly. Only God can do that. And God does that for people's lives as well. People who are living bad lives and they're not doing very good in the world and they're sometimes a little bit evil, God can change them completely. And it's as dramatic as changing a creepy crawly into a beautiful butterfly. It turns people into beautiful people. And in our scripture readings today, we hear about how Jesus took his friends up on the top of the mountain, and when he was up there, Jesus changed and he was beaming bright light. There was light shining out of him, so bright they could hardly bear to look. And you know, Jesus is the light of the world. But you know what Jesus says to you and I? He says, you are the light of the world. And Jesus shines on us and then he shines on out again, and we become light for other people. That's how God changes us. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you shine brightly in our lives. And we pray that you will help us, Lord, to be your light in the dark places. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Okay,
there you go, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy. You're still okay this week, Kathy. You damaged yourself last week, didn't you, with your knees bends and arms stretch and all that stuff. So on that mountaintop, the glory of the Lord shone, and those disciples beheld his glory. And we stand now and we sing to the glory of God. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.
His life.
Kind of interesting, Howard was telling us about how he was thinking about what he was going to sing 3 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, before he went off on his holiday, and how he comes back and he looks through the order of service and finds that by some amazing coincidence that it all fits together, all fits together. And I love that saying that coincidence is when God chooses to remain anonymous. And so much truth. We never know what God's doing. God is moving all the time in lives, in people's lives, you know, in circumstances, and he does great things. And on Friday, I snuck in the back here when the ladies had their day of prayer to listen to Pat Christiansen speaking, and Pat talked about prayer, about the power of prayer, and how it's had great repercussions in her life and in the life of her family. And it was great to listen to. And sometimes when God does things in your life through prayer, sometimes you don't realize it there and then. Sometimes it's when you travel a little bit further down the road of life and you look back and you kind of like a light goes on, you know, and you go, oh, now I see. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. And what sometimes seems like a no sometimes turns into a yes, but in God's time, not in my time, in God's time. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, in this busy world, sometimes we fail to hear your voice. Sometimes, Father, we are just too busy for our own good. And sometimes we allow our noisy world to drown out what you are saying to us. And sometimes, Lord, what we hear is not quite what you say. Sometimes we concentrate so much on what you said centuries ago that we fail to hear, Lord, what you are saying to us right now, today, in our daily lives. And lots of the time, Father, we listen too much to what other people say and too little to what you are saying to us. And so we thank you, Father, for this time of quiet where we can rest aside from our busyness and hear in the beauty and in the serenity of your holiness. We can listen to you. Open our ears, Lord, that we might hear voices of truth thou soundest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. And as we thank you, gracious Father, for the multitude of blessings in our lives, we thank you again for this wonderful blessing of our church home and of our church family. We look around our church, Lord, and we pray for those who are not able to be here today. We ask you, Father, that you will watch over them, that you will keep them safe, and that you will touch their lives. And for those, Lord, whom we know of, who are sick or suffer in any way at this time, we lift them up to you, Lord, to you who are the great healer. And here in the silence and in the beauty of holiness, we whisper their names before your throne of grace, and we pray for your healing presence for them. We pray in silence. Almighty God, on this Transfiguration Sunday, when we remember the time that the light of your glory shone on that mountaintop and the spiritual eyes of your disciples were opened, we ask that you will open our eyes that we might see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands, Lord, the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now, we wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open our eyes. Illumine me. Spirit divine. In the week ahead, O Lord, we ask for the grace of your presence, the presence of your Spirit with us. May we walk in your strength. May we stand in your glory. And may we rest in your blessed peace. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The Gospel from St. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his voice and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has raised from the dead." In the epistle, it's the 2 Peter Chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. for he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the words of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns, that the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of the scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Thanks to Brian for that great reading from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 381, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Charles Swindoll, the prolific Christian writer and preacher, in his book Day by Day, tells the story of a mysterious event that occurred a few years ago to a group of young guys from the church that Charles Swindoll pastored at the time in Southern California. They were on a mountain climbing excursion along with the youth leader from the church. And while taking in the breathtaking sights, the leader realized that he had completely lost the trail. A heavy snowfall had completely covered the pathway, and he didn't have a clue where they were. or how they would get back safely to their main camp. Sunset was not far away, and they were not equipped to spend the night on the wind-blown slopes where the temperatures would soon be dropping quite drastically. So while trudging through the snow, entertaining thoughts which are just short of panic, they suddenly heard someone on the slopes above them yelling, "Hey, the trail is up here! Hey, the trail is up here!" And they looked up, and to their relief they saw another climber in the distance. And without any hesitation they began to make their way up to the rock where this man was sitting. The climb was exhausting, but their relief in finding their way gave them a great rush of adrenaline. You know how it is. And finally they arrived, but to their surprise, the man who had yelled at them was nowhere to be seen. There were absolutely no traces in the snow that anyone had been sitting on the boulder, nor were there any footprints in the snow around the rock. The trail, however, stretched out before them, leading to safety. To this day, they do not know the identity of the stranger who led them to safety, and Charles Swindoll believes to this day that it was indeed an angel. Mysterious things happen on mountains. In the Old Testament reading from Exodus, the Lord says to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commands I have written for your instruction." And we are told that Moses went up on the mountain of God. He went up on the mountain of God. And this turned out to be one of the most pivotal events in human history. For there Moses received, as we know, the Ten Commandments, upon which worldwide law and order is based. 18 kilometers, about 11 miles, to the west side of the Sea of Galilee is Mount Tabor, otherwise known as the Mountain of God. And it is widely believed that it was also on this mountain that another mysterious and pivotal event took place. And I refer, of course, to the event that we're talking about today, the transfiguration of Christ our Saviour. Jesus is on the high mountain with his three closest friends and disciples, Peter, James, and John, and it is here that he was transfigured before them. Transfigured before them. Transfigured is not a word that we use a great lot. So the dictionary says transfigured means to alter the outward appearance, to transform or to exalt or glorify. The word of God says his face shone like the sun, his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Can you imagine how it must have been for those disciples? Ordinary guys, fishermen, day-to-day guys. And it's not surprising really that Peter, who was no doubt overcome by this amazing moment, suggested putting up tents for everyone, shelters for everyone. He wanted to prolong the moment, he wanted it to last. And then scripture tells us, while he, Peter, was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And Peter testifies to this startling event in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And this is Peter himself writing, and he writes, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. We were eyewitnesses to his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from their majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And he carries on, he says, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." On the sacred mountain. In Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, the Jewish law states that for any account to be accepted as true testimony, there must be three witnesses. There must be three witnesses. And in all three accounts of the transfiguration that we have, the transfiguration of Jesus, we are given the name of three witnesses: Peter, James, and John. And they stood as human witnesses to the glory that was Christ's. But there were also three heavenly witnesses: Moses, Elijah, and the voice of God himself, God the Father from heaven. Therefore, the law of three witnesses required to attest to any fact was satisfied both on earth and in heaven. Jesus' followers needed to see and to know just who Jesus is. And so do we. We need to know just who Jesus is, that he is God, the Lord God Almighty. Dr. Leslie Weatherhead was one of the great authors and preachers of British Methodism. And he wrote this of an experience that he had. He said, "Some years ago, I had a strange dream." And he added, "I am not making this up for the purpose of the sermon." Maybe I should say that a few times as well. "I'm not making this up for the purpose of the sermon." He says, "I was passing through a time of great difficulty and great unhappiness. And in my dream, I was to be offered a personal interview with Christ." And he says, "And I thought..." And isn't this just what we would think? He says, "And I thought, ah, I will ask him this and I will ask him that, and then I shall get answers to all of my questions and the key to all of my problems." And believe it or not, he said, "In the glory of his presence, it was not that I forgot to ask him anything. It just seemed utterly unnecessary and meaningless. Somehow," he says, "I had an overwhelming feeling that even he would not be able to explain to me because of my mental grasp. It was so tiny. But there was just an overwhelming feeling of supreme joy that questions no longer needed to be answered. It was sufficient for me to know that, yes, there was an answer. That's all I needed to know, and that all was well." And he added, "Another text came to my memory. It was John 16, verse 23. And Jesus says, 'In that day, you will no longer ask me anything.'" We start to see what he's talking about. "In that day, you will no longer need to ask me anything." Dr. Weatherhead found himself in the presence of Christ in his glory, and he found himself speechless. But he said he never ever forgot that experience. And nor would we, would we? How could you forget an experience like that? We all need to see Jesus. We need to know who he is. On the holy mountain, those disciples saw Jesus transfigured. What they perhaps did not know at that time was that a transfiguration was starting to take place within them. That transfiguration would not become apparent until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. But it started to happen before that. You cannot come into the presence of Jesus without becoming conscious of what, by his grace and glory, that you might one day become. Your transfiguration begins. And it was this revelation of Christ's glory that established in the disciples their undiscouragable faith, that helped them to transform their lives. And they in turn began to help to transform other people's lives. There is something about a mountaintop experience that can help you become more than you have ever been before. And this is the time when we start to put ourselves down and we start thinking to ourselves, wow, I've never experienced anything like that. I don't think I've ever had a transfiguring mountaintop experience in my whole life. But you know, maybe you have, because transfigurations don't just happen on mountaintops. After being on the mountain, Christ and his three best friends came down the mountain and they came back to the reality of the world. Dr. Laurel Dykstra, who is a scripture and justice educator who lives in Vancouver, she wrote the following article in the magazine Sojourners, the Sojourners magazine. She says, "My first night at Guadalupe House, a Catholic worker transition house, I sat at the wobbly-legged table amid a circle of men's faces, black and brown and white, and I looked at the peeling linoleum, the tattered sheer yellow curtains, the broken couches, and the roach-filled corners of the room." She says, "I had never seen a place so ugly." She says, "After a week of hospitality, laughter, community, and connection, I sat in the same seat and looked at the same room and caught myself thinking, what a kind and homey room this is. What a kind and homey room this is. The room had not changed. Where had that transfiguration taken place? Where had the transfiguration of that room taken place?" Dr. Laurel went on to spend another 10 years in the transfigured Guadalupe house. And she says in those 10 years, she says, it never changed. In reality, it didn't. When we come face to face with Christ and we experience his glory, like his disciples of old, we become reflections of his light. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." You see what he's talking about now? You see, when we stand in his glory, we cannot help but reflect his light. Carl Jung, the renowned psychoanalyst, was counseling a man who had been in therapy for 6 months. He wasn't getting any better. And finally, Dr. Jung said, "My friend, I can do no more for you. What you need is God." The man said, "Dr. Jung, how do I find God?" "I don't know," said Dr. Jung, "but I suspect if you will find a group of people, some place that believe in him passionately, and just spend some time with them," he says, "I believe that you will find God." And that is precisely what happened. The man found those people, and the man found God, and he was healed. This sanctuary is our mountaintop. We are together with others who passionately believe in the power and in the love of God. And it is here, by God's grace, that we are transfigured by his glory, by the glory of God's very presence. And we hear once again his wonderful voice saying to you and I, "You are the light of the world." And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first of all, we stand and sing to God's glory, hymn 515, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart."
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Hallelujah. 312 to be God's people.
Give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen.